All levels of government in Australia are being warned that action is needed to prepare for rising sea levels and coastal erosion. During intense storms last month, beaches in parts of Sydney receded by 40 metres. A British researcher says if nothing is done, $1 trillion could be spent globally repairing damage from flooding in coastal cities around the world by 2050. Natalie Whiting has this report.
Over the next 84 years, the CSIRO predicts global sea levels could rise from between half a metre to more than a metre. That could affect 85% of Australia's population that live on the coast.
Well, it's a global issue. Everywhere where we'll be affected to different degrees, but particularly deltas, where 500 million people live, small islands, which I think are well known in Australia, where there's, you know, people could be forced to leave their islands, and in coastal cities, to sort of name three areas that will be particularly impacted.
Robert Nichols is a professor of coastal engineering at the University of Southampton in the UK. He says preparation needs to start now.
Sea levels in places like Sydney, Adelaide, etc. are observed to be rising today. That means the risks associated with flooding, erosion, etc. are rising today slowly, and we should be taking that into account. In the future, we'd expect them to be rising more rapidly, particularly if we don't mitigate, and therefore we'll have to do more adaptation.
So do we need to be doing more now?
I think so, definitely, and certainly preparing for it.
Professor Nichols is among a number of international key speakers at the Climate Adaptation Conference on in Adelaide. He's done research looking at flooding in the biggest 136 coastal cities in the world. It found if there was no adaptation to sea level rise, under high-end scenarios, $1 trillion would be spent globally repairing damage from floods by 2050.
So an almost unimaginable number. I think the message being that clearly in those cities we need to be thinking about adaptation and doing some of it now.
He says steps like reserving land, building seawalls or changing house designs needs to be looked at now.
London spent about £15 million preparing its plan. I think in many places you wouldn't need to probably put that much effort in, but I think each city needs a serious assessment of what the impacts might be and what adaptations would be appropriate to take care of it, and some discussion in the city about what kind of city do the residents of the city want. I mean, it's not just about adapting to climate change, it's about adapting to climate change in a way that gives you a better Adelaide, a better Sydney, a better Melbourne, etc.
The director of the National Climate Change Adaptation Research Facility, Jean Palutikoff, agrees steps need to be taken now.
You can see that sea levels are changing at the moment, they are rising, but they're not actually posing a risk which is more substantial than the existing risk under natural climate change. So we've got a little bit of time to think about sea level rise and what we're going to do about it. But that doesn't mean we should ignore the problem. That means we should actually be using that time productively, particularly to engage with the community at risk in order to arrive at a consensus about how we're going to move forward, how we're going to address the risks, how we're going to fund the actions that we're going to take, just to build a proper, well thought through and consensus driven plan.
The facility has recently launched Coast Adapt after extensive consultation. It's an online information portal to help coastal communities to prepare for things like rising sea levels and erosion.
If we delay for another 20 years, we are going to be in quite a bad place, because then we're going to need to act and people won't be ready for it. And so you're going to get a huge pushback from the community saying, no, I'm not prepared to accept that you're telling me I've got to give up my house and go and live somewhere else because it's too much at risk. I don't accept that.
Do you think this issue is moving more front of mind for Australians after, I mean, we saw the storms in Sydney and incredible erosion there? Do you think this is now, this could perhaps spur people into action?
Given half a chance, people will go back to sleep again. There's no doubt about it. People have quite a short attention span, and right enough, I mean, I can really sympathise with that. So unless what you might call responsible people, which I guess is local councils, state governments, and even the federal government, unless they latch onto this possibility and really work to keep this at the forefront of people's minds, then very reasonably people will forget about the whole issue.
John Barnett from Melbourne University has been studying the impact of rising sea levels on the Pacific Islands for around 17 years.
I think given that we've known in science and in policy for more than 25 years that these are highly vulnerable places, among the most vulnerable in the world to climate change, they're countries that are in Australia's region. The level of action to seriously tackle the issue of adapting to sea level rise has been very, very disappointing.
Some island nations in the region are now even discussing plans to abandon their home because of rising sea levels. John Barnett says researchers and the media sometimes get too fixated on failure to adapt.
I think we really need to reimagine our response to climate change and really think hard about what success would look like, what sorts of communities, what sort of strategies, what sort of lives might people be living in 100 years in those places, despite climate change and sea level rise, that are still really good lives. We need to really imagine a very positive, optimistic account of responding to climate change and get past just thinking about kind of negative visions all the time.
He says the Pacific Islands offer lessons for Australia.
So the solutions that we find, the innovative and imaginative and creative solutions that might be possible in the early adapters in the Pacific may then be very helpful in helping think about how we and coastal communities in Australia and small coastal communities might similarly be very imaginative and innovative adapters as well. I think, you know, what we see in the Pacific is just a harbinger of what we're going to be seeing in Australia in decades to come.
John Barnett from Melbourne University, ending that report from Natalie Whiting.